All right, we're starting a new series tonight. We finished up John last week, and we're going to do, I don't know how long we'll go with it or how many we will do, but we're going to do a series on some of the parables of Jesus. And the parables are often misconstrued. They're often used to teach moralism and things like that. More often than not, they're used to teach about the kingdom of God. They're used to point out the failures of the Pharisees and those who were supposedly the leaders in Israel. And Jesus used parables to speak against them and to show their wickedness. This evening, we're going to look at clothes and wineskins from Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 14 to 17. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment and making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." Now, most of you are familiar. You don't hear as much about it anymore as we did some years ago, but you're familiar most likely with Habitat for Humanity. They do great work in transforming neighborhoods, making it possible for the working poor to own a home. Often they take abandoned or boarded up homes and gut them and rebuild them. But sometimes there are places that just can't be gutted. They're so dilapidated that they have to be torn down and a whole new structure needs to be rebuilt. That's the case that Jesus is making here in our text. The old structures cannot continue to stand, or the new message will be lost. He intends to build a whole new structure. So how do we fit in to this structure and what's it about? Well, let's look at it along these lines. We'll define what is the old, both personally and covenantally, and then do the same with the new. Following those definitions, we'll try and see what it means for us today. Well, the old piece of cloth or the old wineskin, what's the personal idea there of the old? Well, the old is the person we used to be. It's the natural man that resists the holiness that Christ is seeking to build in us. It's what's referred to by Paul as that which has passed away. Some of you know I'm a fan of Southern gospel music, and it really goes back to my early teen years. But it was a song that Bill Gaither wrote. He specifically wrote it for who's dead now, for George Jantz, who was a world-renowned bass singer for a couple different groups. And Jantz really had a past, and Bill decided to write this song about George, and it fit him perfectly. The chorus, we don't want to go through the whole thing, but the chorus goes like this: "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore." Scripture doesn't always speak the same way when it speaks of our old nature or the old man or different terms that are used. Sometimes it speaks of it as being dead. Other times it speaks of it as still active and something that we need to battle against. It seems that the old man was crucified with Christ, but yet something continues, doesn't it? And as redeemed believers, there's still something old hanging around, confusing us, tripping us up. just being a general problem for our struggle for sanctification. Those of us who have been raised in Christian homes and were taught to believe from the earliest age, and we never really had a past as such, can't identify as easily with the oldness of the old as some of you who came to Christ after a life lived in the world and apart from Christ. You can do it more easily, probably. But whether the old was merely a few months or years or half a life, we can still identify with that rascal of corruption which leads us so often in rebellion, disobedience, and doubt. We're aware of it, we know of it, and we fight against it. Well, that's the personal old. What's the covenantal old? The old covenant is the covenant made with Israel, mediated by Moses, often called the Mosaic covenant, or simply the law. The old covenant is not coextensive with the entirety of the Old Testament. There's a variety of covenants that we find there in the Old Testament. There's a covenant with Adam, one with Noah, one with Abraham. When the New Testament speaks of the Old Covenant, it's referring specifically to the law, to that which God gave Moses on the mountain. The covenant made with Israel was a conditional covenant, promising blessing and prosperity for obedience and cursing and destruction for disobedience. This covenant stood from the time of Moses until it was superseded by the new. Christ came and introduced the new covenant and announced the coming abandonment of the old. The old covenant continued for a while after the new was inaugurated, kind of overlapped for a few years until AD 70, when God judged Israel via the Roman conquerors. The temple was destroyed, Israelites scattered from the land or slaughtered by the Romans, as judgment for the rejection of Christ. Well, what's the new? Personally, it's the new man in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. The new man is the new person that emerges when a person is regenerated, a given new life, and the Holy Spirit takes up residence in that person. These events enable a person to believe and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Often you hear people speak of it in a different order. You believe so that you can be born again. No, that's backwards. The most devastating thing with the old man is that he is dead in trespasses and sins and needs to be made alive. Apart from this life, he cannot believe. J.I. Packer wrote, "The use of the figure of new birth describes this change, emphasizes two facts about it. The first is its decisiveness. The regenerate man has forever ceased to be the man he was. His old life is over, a new life has begun. He is a new creature in Christ, buried with him, out of reach of condemnation, and raised with him into new life of righteousness." The second fact emphasized is that regeneration is due to the free and to us mysterious exercise of divine power. Infants do not induce or cooperate in their own procreation and birth. No more can those who are dead in trespasses and sins prompt the quickening operation of God's Spirit within them. It's a work of God. He initiates it, he brings it to you, and we are merely recipients. He comes to us while we are dead, still in our sins, and he brings us regeneration. Dave Boyer was the master of ceremonies at the famous 500 Club in Atlantic City back in the late 50s, early 60s, somewhere in that time frame. Success began early for him, around the age of 18. And at that time, his manager suggested to him that he take on a stage name of Joey Stevens rather than Dave Boyer. As MC, he was introduced to all sorts of people, and then he was introducing them on stage and performing with the likes of Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Jerry Lewis, and others. But with the success, Dave became addicted to alcohol and other drugs. His life became totally self-centered, focused on fame and fortune. In 1964, his wife June left him, taking their daughter with her. And less than a year later, Dave's father, a minister in York, Pennsylvania, died. At that point, his self-inflicted hurt became too much. He left the 500 Club that night and drove towards a little town in Pennsylvania where he'd hoped to kill himself on the railroad tracks. On the way, however, he passed a little church along the side of the road that brought back happy memories of his childhood, of his father, and of his family. Hurting and crying, he fell to his knees and then forced himself to a payphone. Remember, we used to have those. Remember, they were to a payphone where he called his brother, who is now the pastor of the church where his father had been the pastor. His brother drove out to meet him, and in the wee hours of the morning, after a lot of praying, Joey Stevens was laid to rest forever, and Dave Boyer was reborn in Christ. Dave's wife, June, and their daughter returned to him after about a two-year separation. Dave began singing for the glory of God, and one of his favorite songs, and it makes perfect sense when you know his background, was Calvary Covers It All. Portion goes like this: Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. And Dave's still singing to the glory of God today. It was through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit that Dave Boyer was enabled to leave his old life behind. The old was gone, and he began living a new life in Christ. So it is by this regeneration that we are enabled to believe, enabled to obey. Now, we still don't do it very well. The standard to love God and others as God has loved us is so high that we'll never achieve it fully in this life. Now, we certainly make progress, and glad for that, at self-denial, turning away from following the demands of our hearts. But this is the tension in which we live. Already perfected positionally because of Christ's righteousness being imputed to us by faith, but also aware that we're not perfected in our moment-by-moment decisions and choices and actions. We're also aware of the struggle between good and evil, and there's something deep within us now that desires the good. We want to obey God now, but too often that gets pushed aside by the world and the flesh and the devil. Well, what's the new covenantally? It's the new covenant that Christ was announcing. In time, he would come in judgment and he would turn away from Israel and they would lose their status they had as the covenant people of God. He, on the other hand, would graft Gentiles into that same old tree stump, and that we would have now the blessings of being the people of God. That's part of what Paul's argument in Romans 9. We read at verse 23, "What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory, even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. And he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God." That's new. That's the new covenant. The new covenant is universal, going out to all the nations. In it, the Lord offers the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He gives new hearts. He calls us together in the church. And this covenant, all the work is done for us by Christ. It's conditional, But all the conditions are eternally met for us by our Redeemer and will not be judged based on our performance. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if you try and fit that covenant into the old structures of the nation and the law, you have a problem with wineskins. There's significant continuity between the Abrahamic covenant and the new, but the old Mosaic covenant is obsolete. The new doesn't work well with its conditionality, with its nationalism, with its ongoing sacrifices and priesthood. It was put in place to lead us to Christ, and the nation was the conduit for the Messiah. He came, and with his coming, the old is complete. So let's not put our new wine into old wineskins. I have a clean cup here with clean water, but if someone had come along this afternoon and put, well, take your pick, let's say rat poison in my cup, would any of you want to drink it? No. It's old, it's nasty, it's poisonous. It's not good to drink now. It's been ruined. So Jesus came to do the new thing and establish a new relationship apart from the law, and we must not put it back into the law to make it work. What does all this mean for us today? It should change how we think about God and about ourselves. Now, this isn't standard self-esteem talk, which is an attempt to make ourselves seem important in our own eyes. Rather, it's a new spiritual reality. God loves us. He's inclined toward us. God has moved to us in our need and rescued us by the merits of His Son. God sought us and built a whole new relationship with us. He's come to us in the person of the Holy Spirit to live in us forever. He has united us to Christ in an inseparable bond. God will never, ever again turn from us. God will never again be angry with us in a judgmental sort of way. In the wineskins of the old covenant, the Spirit would come and go upon people for a particular task or project. Kind of hate to use this illustration, but going to anyway. Kind of remember the old show, The Incredible Hulk, when he would get angry, this thing would come over him and he'd turn into the Hulk, and then he'd go back to being the same old guy after it was done. It doesn't work that way. The Spirit comes, the Spirit stays, and the Spirit's going to work in us and through us for the remainder of our days. Now, in the new, the Holy Spirit is permanent with us and with all those who are regenerate, who are born again by God's grace. Do you see how that doesn't fit with the old piece of cloth or the old wineskin? The terror of the law is gone, and we live now in sweet fellowship with our God. Everything symbolized in the old is now true for the believer through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. God dwells with us. Fellowship and peace were procured by the Lamb of God. The veil was parted. The Shekinah descends to dwell with His people. We are that people. Regardless of our race, our ethnicity, our gender, whatever, we belong to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are members of the New Covenant community, and it really is new. Something to rejoice in, something to take encouragement from, something to recognize that God is the one at work, redeeming a people for Himself, and we, thankfully, are part of that people and belong to Him. through his Son. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for establishing the old and bringing us out of it. Thank you for establishing the new and making all things new in Christ. We thank you that we have been made new and that we have a new desire to obey and serve you. Cause that desire to grow more and more. Help us, Lord, to be more successful in our following of you, to turn away from the allurements of the world, the flesh, and the devil, to honor you with our words and our deeds. So thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the covenant that he has ratified on our behalf, and that we now stand in full acceptance before you because of his righteous merit. We rejoice in him. Thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.